There is something profound going on at Skinwalker Ranch, and it begs to be studied.
The legend is that things happen on this ranch.
What if some of it's real?
Whoa, that's a definite being.
Who or what could we be dealing with?
I didn't believe in the paranormal when I came out on this ranch, and I paid a pretty hefty price.
Curse of Skinwalker Ranch.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to episode 7 of the Skinwalker Watch Along, our penultimate episode. It's myself, Andy, with my co-host Dan. As always, how are we doing tonight, Dan?
I'm great today, Andy. The New York Times article news was awesome. How are you?
New York Times article. Hadn't seen much about it. actually drained my phone battery today with the Twitter notifications coming through. It killed my phone, which I had to charge much earlier than normal, I can guarantee you. But yeah, it's been some good conversation, some good chat, and this episode I'm going to release straight away tonight, as long as Dan doesn't give me any edits really awkwardly in the middle of anything. I've got Joe Murgia tomorrow night I'll be speaking to, and I'll try and get that out straight away. Less of an interview and more of a conversation around the New York Times article, and again, loads of listens to our breaking news podcast last night, Dan, that I dragged you onto very last minute. So that's been really good as well. So thanks for listening to that, folks, and hope you enjoyed us just sharing some opinions on the article and trying to put it all in one place in audio format, because Twitter's a bit of a jungle, which we all know. So yeah, that's been really good. So here we are, episode 7, Dan, and this one is called Surveillance. We're moving on from the digging episode last time. Now, we've just been discussing before we started recording that there's 8 episodes in the series. Episode 7 kind of is the last one, though, isn't it? For a few different reasons in my eyes. Episode 8, do you want to have a little chat about what we're probably going to do for episode 8?
Yeah, episode 8 is it's a really important step in their investigation, in that it's presented to someone who can kind of hold this data and really legitimize it. But it's more of a summary episode. So instead of a watch along, Andy and I are going to do more of a talk about the season, discuss some theories. If you guys have any thoughts, send them in, or any questions. So it'll just be a lot more casual and probably a bit shorter as well.
Yeah, you say that now, you've jinxed it. It's going to be a 4-hour mega bumper chat. But, you know, yeah, definitely send in any of your thoughts. And like we say, most of the episode are the guys all sitting round the table in Brandon's very swish office building. So, yeah, it'll be more of a recap of the series and discussing some of your thoughts. And I've got some of those sent in already, but keep them coming, absolutely. That would be great, at UFOUAPAM, or you can send them on to Dan at The Zignal on Twitter. But, yeah, we'll definitely be looking for those for the episode, for our last one. And like we said, we might even kind of spitballing on it, review the Hunt for the Skinwalker documentary, maybe something like that as well afterwards, just to kind of give people some more kind of research if they want to kind of look into it. So really strangely, episode 5 of the watch along had more listens than episode 4. So I think some people maybe came on after the Thomas Winterton episode or something.
Oh, that's great, though.
And they've kind of jumped in. So I think we've got some people maybe going back through the archives. So, yeah, so that's kind of good to see kind of people coming in. Unless people just hated episode 4 for some reason, maybe it really annoyed them. But no, it's good to see people kind of jumping on board with the watch-alongs, because they've been really fun to do. And it's a bit of a different approach for myself. And obviously Dan joining me has been really fun. So it's good to keep these going, folks. So as always, myself and Dan have the episode lined up on our various devices. We're watching the Secret of Skinwalker Ranch copy with no adverts, and we've got it ready to roll from the get-go. So I'll give a 3, 2, 1 and hit play. So 3, 2, 1, play. Previously, there was some digging. Yeah, there was a lot of holes and a lot of digging in that last episode. There was a good 10 minutes of clay. They can make it look really exciting in a minute here, can't they? Which is good. Oh, so I promised Dan I wasn't going to put him on the spot for anything right at the start before we started recording.
And already.
Something's came into my head already. As Dan's looking, going, Christ, can you not just organise yourself for once? So do you think, so we're just saying here, Dan, that it's been 8 episodes and the 8th episode's quite recapish, even though it's important what they're doing and who they're talking to. And like, everyone likes a summary episode as well. But could this series have been a little bit more impactful having maybe 6 episodes instead of 8?
Possibly. It's always a challenge to get a lot of content into a show. And often these things are pre-decided, you know, the network will order that many episodes. But as a British person, I like my season shorter as well, so I don't disagree.
Yeah, it's just there are a few times, aren't there, where they've either had to stretch something out, or, like I say, in the last episode, when they're going through clay samples and whatnot, it just kind of came into my head where I was like, ah, do you know what, maybe they could have done this in 6. But you're right, the network absolutely requests a certain number of episodes, and I've got my interview with Dragon that I've done already that I've given you a sneak preview of. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen yet. It goes about an hour and a half. Yeah, it's about an hour and a half long. I only sent it over to Dan last night, but that'll drop next week. And it's really good, and it shows a really different side to Dragon. But again, we broach things like that on the conversation around what would you do if the cameras start rolling, as we know they are about to in the next week, and for 3 months, nothing happens. Because with this topic and this subject, it's not like The Unidentified, where you've got people being interviewed and you've got previous clips and previous footage. You're literally waiting on things happening on those days and being recorded. You've got a crew of 30, 40 people on site at any one time filming in different locations. Nothing might happen. And that's something that, I suppose, even from a watch-along point of view, has been a challenge for us at times. But obviously it's been good. We've got to know each other doing this, and you can talk over various bits and pieces. But for them, that must be a real challenge, that, oh my God, it's been 2 weeks and nothing's really happened. Should we go and let a dog into the alpaca pen? No, I'm not saying that. I am not saying that's what happened, right? I'm not saying that.
But then, you know, I feel that I haven't watched the Oak Island Money Pit. But that's another show by the same team, right? And as far as I know, they haven't found the money yet. And they've been going for many, many, many seasons. So I, you know, at some point it's about the investigation and the journey. But then Bigelow sold it because everything stopped happening. So
yeah,
on and that side, I can totally
shows
agree
like
with you.
The hunt for Hitler. Now, it's not a spoiler to say they don't find him. However, the journey to get there and some of the things that might come up, whether far-fetched or not, are no doubt. Yeah, but just it was something that came into my mind that could it have been a little bit more impactful being a bit shorter. But this episode kicks off with us back in the caretaker's basement. So from a few episodes ago, we were in their home and they'd been hearing a few different noises around the house. They had some kind of weird things going on in the setup of a bit of an audio experiment, where Travis has gone back a little bit and regressed to being a bit more sceptical, I think, in this episode for the most part, where he's got a theory that the room they found downstairs in the basement was acting as a bit of an echo chamber and as a kind of steel concrete drum. And any noises, any cupboards being closed or shut, he thinks might have been kind of being captured in here and echoed back around the home, and that's what they've been hearing. That's a bit of a stretch to go back from where they've kind of been, and as a more scientific approach, no problem with that. But Travis has definitely got some ideas here, hasn't he, as to what may or may not have been going on.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely... The way I look at it is, when you're kind of building out a show, you kind of want a progression of character and progression of story throughout it. So for Travis to go from, you know, his skeptical self to now he's got theories after having his mind blown, and then really the next episode is a lot of him presenting his theories to us, right? Yeah. So I can see the trajectory for his character in that way, and why he's, you know, he's skeptical here, but, well, not skeptical, but detailed, paying attention to the detail and applying the science.
Dan, can I just ask, is that air conditioning on in your room? I can hear.
It is. No. It's a fan. Do you want me to turn it off?
No, there's a helicopter above, and that's exactly what Travis has just done. That is my segue into So we've got a chopper above the ranch, and Travis, I love how he does the, have they got their air conditioning on? Oh, wait, nope, there's a helicopter above. So straight away, the guys get a little bit kind of flustered, don't they, that there's a chopper flying overhead. They've all got the binoculars out. We're about to see Caleb and Dragon having a little walk around as well, given their roles as security on the ranch, which, you know, are their proper roles and they take very seriously, as well as being kind of TV stars, which they are now. They want to know what's going on and why. Is this going to be some random helicopter landing on the ranch, you know? But you, you'd found out some stuff, didn't you? And it's something when you mentioned it came back into my head, but there was some chatter online, wasn't there, between Brandon and someone else regarding the situation here with the helicopter.
I don't want to say his name though, because he's been quiet, and if we say his name three times, he might come back up. It's an important time to have that person quiet.
Use an assumed name, Rick East.
Rick East.
Yeah.
Thought, and you know, provided some fairly decent evidence as to why this was just a power line survey company. He kind of stopped at that point. And was satisfied with his explanation. For me, I felt like he should have gone further and called the company and found out if they were there and so on and so forth. But Brandon was very, very lovely in his response to Mick. They had a good conversation. And he basically trusts Eric, that Eric would have covered those bases. If Mick can watch a television show for, you know, 45 minutes and figure it out, we can assume Eric's come to the same conclusion or done that due diligence, I think.
Yes, I think Eric is someone who, and I wouldn't question anyone's integrity on the show. I think we've got a few people who know how to play for the cameras on there, definitely, but Eric's a scientist. And
hey, Eric, you know, a scientist.
He's so straight-laced, isn't he? Say that
he
again.
He is, yeah. A scientist that can do blue steel for the cameras is important.
Oh, he absolutely can, yeah. And you said, I think we said Eric early on is like the lovable uncle, isn't he, of the group? That you just trust Eric. You like to see him at family parties. He's going to tell you some stories, and some of them you don't know whether they're true or not, but you give him the time and you believe him because he's so nice. But yeah, so for me, it was like, could it have been like a news crew? Could it have been tourists? I mean, could it be someone shooting some footage over the ranch for an upcoming documentaries and something like that? But we don't know. But like you say, Brandon's more than happy with what Eric's went with. They do mention, sure, like they check the transponder, but the chopper doesn't have a transponder. But Travis quite rightly says that because of the class of airspace that the chopper's in, a class E, I believe, it doesn't have to have the transponder turned on. But the only reason they wouldn't have it turned on is to not be seen. So,
yeah. Apparently, sometimes it gets turned off for other reasons, but it would be silly not to have it on. I would say that Mick did match the picture of the helicopter, and it did look exactly like the helicopter the power line company used. But, we know there's government interest in this place. So it's not hard to cover with, oh, can we take one of your helicopters? Oh, you know, something like that. Just hire one for the day and fly over the ranch. It's really not.
Dan, I feel you're skirting around the issue. Are you saying it was definitely aliens?
You could see the alien at the controls of the helicopter there, yeah, I thought.
It's like the Turkish UFO float, wasn't it? which is incredible, by the way. So moving on a little bit. Brandon has just discussed a little bit of background on NIDS, Bigelow, and some background again of the ranch, and it's coming up to the kind of first break. As we come back, we are seeing there has been an incident with one of the cattle, and we're going to see some more tri-field meters and some frequencies bouncing about in the area as well. So we're starting to get into, this is one of the first times really there's some proper classic old school UFO stuff going on. There's a dead cattle about to come on screen. We've got the UFO that's going to come on soon as well. We've got some electromagnetic interference in the area. It's very everything. Much like UFO investigation 101, isn't it? So there's Travis running across the field, and they are all round. Unfortunately, again, it's one of those things, isn't it? If you're an animal lover, at times this series hasn't been the best thing for you to be watching, because we've had the alpaca incident. We've had quite a few shots of cattle mutilations as well. And to be fair, this isn't a cattle mutilation, but it seems like the animals died under strange circumstances, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. The vet does the mutilation in this bit.
Yeah, it kind of does. And when he asks for the kind of, is it tree loppers they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Candace is horrified that he's asking for tree loppers, and he cuts this poor cow right open. But again, it's they want to kind of find out what's happened, don't they, on the spot. So I think being scientists, these guys all took biology and paid attention at school and high school and college. So they know what was going on here. They've all dissected those frogs, haven't they? Not something you do in the UK. I don't know if you do that in the US anymore either, like with,
political correctness. They
do it in films, yeah.
All the time. So if that's not true, that is a lie. Yeah.
Did you ever do it in school?
No.
No, neither did we. Maybe it's still more of an American thing. Maybe someone could let us know about that, yeah. Do you still dissect frogs in the US when you're in school? Answers on a postcard. So, yeah, we've got Caleb here. They're just talking about the crime scene. I say crime scene. So Caleb's going to take some pictures of what's happened. And they do mention that, you know, he's kind of taking pictures of the crime scene that's gone on. Caleb's job, he is a police officer in the local area, and he works on the ranch when he's not doing his police officer duties as well. And that's something I discussed with Dragon on my interview that you can hear next week on the main feed, which I thought was quite interesting.
Because
I made the point, and I won't give too much away, but, you know, Caleb is on the screen very, very little in the series. And there's even parts of some episodes where it's almost like he doesn't want to be on camera. I think there's one of the early episodes, he drops off Thomas, doesn't he? Or he drops off Brandon and then goes, okay, bye, and then leaves. And I was like, does he not like being on camera? And he mentioned that he's probably going to be in the second series a lot more. But being a police officer, he's always on duty and whatnot. So that's pretty cool.
That'd be great to see him more.
Yeah, so we've got... the Trifield meter starts to go a little bit nuts again. We've got some issues with the phones. I know, Dan, you'd talked about this as a kind of known issue on some phones back earlier. But
a lot slower. You know, you're talking like one of those errors per, you know, 5-10 seconds, not one every millisecond.
So you'd be comfortable saying there's something going on. It's jumping about quite a lot, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so there's definitely some kind of...
odd.
The cattle's dead, unfortunately. Something's happened. They're checking the electric EMA, electrical magnetic anomaly in the area. But they're at this minute, they're not quite sure exactly what's happened. And we do get some footage checked out soon as well. But cattle mutilations are like classic, along with crop circles. They're some of the really, really old school UFO alien hunter stuff back in the day that you maybe hear less and less of now. But when you delve into the research, and as we're going to find out, we've got one of the most famous UFO researchers coming up in this episode, this kind of stuff still happens very regularly. I think it's just maybe not as popular as it once was to kind of hear about, because it's so cliched that, oh yep, cattle mutilation and animals being cut up, and, you know, South Park parried it to death, and you see the famous images of the cows being beamed on board, like flying saucers and whatnot. So
did you know there's an alien hidden in every single episode of South Park? Every single episode. Sometimes it's as small as a chair leg, and like it'll replace a chair leg, or it'll be blended into the wall or something. But in every single episode, there is an alien.
Do they still do that? I didn't know that.
They do, yeah.
I remember the first game on the PlayStation, because you used to, it was a cow launcher, wasn't it? And you had to launch cows at the,
you know, I never played it.
No, oh, it was a classic. You know? Yeah, that was a good game back in the day. So Candace and Thomas, that is Thomas, isn't it?
Can you get those on for an interview, maybe?
I have contacts. I can ask. Yeah,
they'd be great guests. I'd love to hear from them.
I'll make a note. Yeah. That's Candace and Thomas, though, isn't it? Have I got their names wrong?
No, that's their names.
Yeah, that's really... I was going to say, Candace. I took a proper mind blank there, because Thomas Winterton's came on screen, and I was like, yeah, so they're basically driving around the ranch just now, checking all the cattle are still there. They should have 42, is that right? But obviously one's now dead, so they're basically counting to find out where the other 41 are. for any Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fans, 42 being the number of cattle on the ranch will please you. But yeah, so they're basically driving around checking the rest of the cattle are okay. There's no more issues. Thomas Winterton's been on discussing cattle mutilations as well. And this is one of some of the stuff I was listening to on the Joe Rogan podcast. They talked about cattle mutilations. George Knapp. When they were talking about it, though.
Less than as positive as he should be, I'll say that politically, about the efforts at Skinwalker Ranch. I'm not sure he's aware of the ongoing efforts, to be honest, because the things that he mentioned sound like the before era or the Bigelow era.
But you know why he hates it? Because, as Rogan made the point constantly, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Where is the evidence?
But this is why I think he'd really be into this now. he'd be up there in a shot.
And he is the kind of guy that I wouldn't mind seeing a Joe Rogan out there to do maybe a show and just, you know, spend the night, do like a late night live.
That was Joe Rogan Questions Everything, I think it was called. Yep. And he just kind of went and looked at crazy things. And this was one of them. And he just kept basically getting people saying, yes, we have evidence. And then he'd go to them and it'd just be a story. They'd have nothing to show him. And he got fed up with that, which is, I can kind of empathize with that.
Yeah. It is understandable, but Skinwalker Ranch, I can see why the subject, this series, the history and the lore isn't for everyone that's into this subject, because it is very heavy on testimony and scientific data that you're not going to see tons of videos of UFOs. You'll see bits. There's nothing incredible though. You're going to see like animal mutilations. You hear a lot of talk of some incredible things, but you don't necessarily get to see them. Famous incidents like the cattle being stuck inside the pen. You know, that's an incredible story and would have been great to see on camera, but we don't have it on camera. We don't have video footage of it. So
this speaks to the development of the Pentagon program, though, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, literally what we're saying is there's no evidence. It's hard to kind of get any scientific data for a phenomenon that doesn't repeat consistently. And so OSAP became a focused effort, focused on military connections, and that's what ATIP is. And then they were able to come up with the five observables from the patterns that they were seeing, and they have three videos that they shared with us.
And that's it. And even at the end of the day, like, if Skinwalker Ranch, and it does seem like a pretty special place, there's something to it or more than one thing to it. If the government and Bigelow done that report, you know, and had those scientists on the ranch, What are they going to say? They're not going to come out and say that, oh yeah, we've got portals opening up and things coming out of them, or you've heard of kind of like humanoid type creatures crawling through little wormholes opening
what
up.
What happened with Raid Area 51, right?
Yeah.
It's like it would just be rammed with people trying to get through the portals. And if it is something bad, we don't want that happening.
Yeah. I'll plug it again, but if you listen to my interview with Dragon, we do discuss the people trying to get on the ranch, and he very, very politely calls them enthusiasts. But yeah, we talk about some of the common things that people try and do, and apparently they do get quite a lot of people just driving up to the gate. And I think particularly now with like Dragon and Caleb being famous, because they are, people just drive for a long, long distance to come and say hello to these two big security guards with guns. So but they seem really nice about it. But yeah, don't be sneaking onto the ranch.
At least if you go on the ranch, you're guaranteed to meet them, just not in a positive way. So maybe wait until you bump into them. And
and you want to try and get them on a good day as well. So they might be like, you know, on day five of, you know, the 12 or 14 hour shifts or something. So, but we've got the vet on site now to check the cattle. Okay. So I feel sorry here because Candace is kind of in the corner covering her mouth, like the dog is sitting watching what's going on, and they are just taking this thing apart. Jim Segala seems to really be enjoying this, doesn't he? He gets really involved, like,
yeah, he's having a proper look.
Yeah.
Maybe studying the method so that he can, do it if need be on the ranch in future.
That's the very diplomatic way of putting it, yeah. So they basically do the autopsy, don't they, on the cattle now to find out what's happened. And as they discuss, it's rapid onset stress-induced pneumonia, with the idea being that this can come on quickly. The biology for the animal to get the pneumonia is already within the animal's genetic makeup, but something has induced a level of stress that's caused the cattle to lower its immune system and bring on the pneumonia, which has killed it really quickly. Which is something pretty odd. It's not an easy thing to happen, and we do see some footage obviously coming up as well soon, but here we're getting a little bit of information on generally some of the cattle mutilations that have happened in the past, and the more famous incidents involve, you know, total loss of all the blood and there being no blood in the area at all, and surgical incision.
That gives me chills just because it's so close, you know, for us to be able to say they've taken it elsewhere, done what they've done, and brought it back. There's an elsewhere to go. Like, I don't mean to, you know, make a vague point, but that's pretty exciting.
What kind of elsewhere are you thinking, though? Like, do you think?
Well, that's the thing. Reality, is it in a spaceship? Is it interdimensional? Is it less interdimensional and more parallel, like some kind of Escher puzzle? That, you know, it's so many possibilities, but it gives us a tangible elsewhere, or more tangible than what we had before, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those things you would love to get something like that on camera, and they do get some stuff here. Whether there was more and they don't let on, I don't know, but as we find out in a few minutes time, we're going to see some footage, and there is a UFO involved as well in the sky above. So this vet has been hauled on camera to mutilate this poor animal's corpse and then confirm that the pneumonia has come on and has killed the animal. So, but it does seem that some massive stress events happened and killed this cattle. It's 2 years old. It's pretty healthy. I did have a little bit of a snigger around the way they mentioned, like, the cow's profile. That this cow was fine, as if they know it really well. And I'm not saying they don't and don't get to know the animals, but you know when they're like, this cow was so happy, it had so much to live for. It was planning on going on its holiday soon. You know, there was just a lot happening in this cow's life that there was no reason for this to happen.
Very it's like, yeah, we get that.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It was, you know, it's going to be missed. All the other cows loved this cow.
They all ran away from it, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I mean, those cows,
what it did.
Those cows hauled ass, didn't they? As our friends in the US would say.
Other end of the ranch.
Yeah, as we find out, as our resident map expert would tell us. But they are over the other side of the ranch, far, far away from this incident. So again, definitely one that I wouldn't say is over-dramatising anyway. It's something strange has happened there. And we'll see a little bit of footage coming up soon as well in the command centre, don't we?
Like, we don't have to instantly say it's the phenomenon, but we do have to pay attention to our biosensors.
So we've got Dragon and Eric on the phone to Brandon. I didn't realise how long Dragon and Brandon have been friends for.
They've been friends for years, haven't they?
It's more than 25 years, yeah.
25 years, wow.
Yeah, they kind of grew up together, like, as kids, and that's something we talk about again on the interview.
Children's book.
They got on really well, and Brandon just happens to be a multi-millionaire real estate mogul. But he surrounds himself with people he trusts, and Dragon is one of those people. I do ask him what a 19-year-old Brandon Fugo was like, and apparently he was very much the same, still very sharply dressed, talked the same way. Thomas Winterton backed it up as well, didn't he? That he's not fake, the way he comes across on screen.
Yeah.
This kind of kind-hearted geek, but really intelligent, very shrewd businessman as well. So that was quite cool to hear and kind of find out about as well. So Brandon's asking about the electromagnetic disturbances. This bit, it was just really coincidental that Brandon happens to have someone on hand that he's sending to the ranch the following day. And as we are literally about to find out, it's Linda Moulton Howe. What were your thoughts on LMH herself, if we want to give her a kind of WWE-esque acronym for our name, Linda Moulton Howe turning up on the episode.
It was strange to see her without her cats. I'll say that. I miss them. But also wouldn't want her to bring them here, to be honest. Yeah, it's nice to have her here because she's been a staple of the community on this subject for a long, 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 long time. Brandon's absolutely right when he said that she's an expert. She absolutely is. The actual cattle mutilation may not be the level that she's used to, but she has some great input.
I don't know if you noticed, Dan, just as they cut to the break, they have the moment where Linda Moulton Howe mentions coming from above, and it cuts to Candace doing the dramatic camera, you know, the doof, and the alpaca does one as well. The alpaca looks to the camera as if doof. If you get a second, folks, jump back and just double check before the ad break. The alpaca, I think Dan's going to check on his.
I'll make a note for later.
Yeah. The alpaca does the doof look to the camera, which I love. There's a gif there or a meme.
Yeah, for sure.
Brandon turns up in a car that he's driven himself with Linda Moulton Howe, looking very beautifully dressed, as she always does. But Brandon's driving the car, and it makes me wonder, does Linda Moulton Howe not like getting in helicopters? Why is he driven her to the ranch?
Maybe he had to meet her at the airport.
Maybe the power line company was using his other chopper. Huh? There's always that possibility. But Linda Moulton Howe, someone who I obviously know quite well in the topic that I listen to quite a lot of her shows. There tends to be certain shows, though, of hers that I'll listen to, and they tend to focus more on, like, Antarctica and that sort of stuff that she does quite a lot of stuff on. Yeah. What's your experiences been when you listen or read or kind of, you know, digest any of LMH's, I'm going to call it LMH, it's much easier, her LMH material, Dan?
I enjoy it. I came to find her at the same time that I came to find Corey Good. So the Antarctica stuff kind of muddled together for me. And it's since, you know, being 5 hours into Corey Good stuff and having my brain twig and realize that this guy is just describing a movie script to me for a reason. I can put him aside, but I haven't gone back to it.
Yeah, I like some of the stuff with Antarctica, something I've not looked into yet on my own show, but that there's something to the region, and if people remember back to the Stars Academy, 6 months, just over 6 months to a year ago, when they had the first series of Unidentified, I think, had been on, and they were doing their next share issue. The picture on their site was Antarctica with a beam of light.
Oh, that's right. It was upside down as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so I've always kind of wondered and always had an interest in that sort of thing myself. So
there's a lot around, I want to say Neil Armstrong going down there, and some tweets that he put out saying that he'd seen the face of evil after visiting there and things like that that really intrigued me. But there's not a lot to go on.
No, it's a pretty secretive place in itself, isn't it? But
it is.
I know UAP Expeditions, which is a little bit on the Twitter news recently, but we won't go into it. That was something they were looking at as well, wasn't it? And potentially in the future and getting out there. But yeah, so Linda is investigating where this cow has been mutilated. We see some previous mutilations. It's very much something that she's accustomed to, and she discusses with the rest of the folk on the ranch. We see some other cows, obviously, that have been mutilated, and it's pretty, if not gross and disturbing, what happens to these animals is pretty incredible with the surgical precision that some of these, would you call them operations, or, you know, some of the things that are happening to these cattle?
We'll call them operations in the sense that they were a thing that was carried out.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, I mean, they're mutilations, aren't they? Because eyes have been removed. And something I hadn't heard before, though, that I find quite interesting, Linda mentions here, that the the eye that's raised to the sky tends to be the one that's removed, and it's not always both eyes. Same with the ear, that the ear pointed to the sky is sometimes still sticking up. And that's where she's got the idea more so that it's something that's happening from above. And I mean, cards on the table, she's going with the alien point of view here, isn't she? That an ET craft pretty much, or, you know, US government secret craft is doing this to these animals, which is pretty interesting.
To go with the theory and just, you know, throw caution to the wind, if there was a craft that generated a bubble around itself, and that bubble was a cutoff of sorts, it might do things like remove the skyward eye and skyward ear, and leave marks on the cow when it goes, you know?
Potentially, yeah, potentially. It's almost a whole other show for another time. cattle mutilations. I like her earrings, though. They remind me of Larry Sespuch. She's got the kind of, like, Native American type earrings, doesn't she, on? Like, she's...
I like them, but have you seen Salad Fingers?
Oh, now you say that,
they
yeah.
make me think of Salad Fingers.
Okay, yeah, now they do make me think of Salad Fingers as well.
If Linda listens to this, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I have it on good authority that Linda listens. No, I don't. I'm not going to be that guy. But if you do ever listen, Miss Moltenhow, I do apologise for Dan's lewd comments on
She'd
your
She'd be angry at me
feelings.
And I'd just be amazed that she was speaking to me.
You'd be humbled.
It'd be very different experiences.
Yeah, you'd be totally humbled. Thomas is telling them, look, let's get out of here. We've been hanging about this dead cattle for quite a while now. And as is evident from the flies surrounding this carcass, which was previously cut open, they want to get away from it as well, don't they? So they've got Linda out in Skinwalker Ranch. Now, she's been out there a few times in the past as well, and it kind of slips my mind, but was she not out there as well when Bigelow had the ranch at some point?
I couldn't say.
I can't remember if I read that or saw it in one of the documentaries. Or
She. I don't know if she was on the ranch with Bigelow, but she was definitely doing work around that time, you know, investigations and things like that. But I couldn't say for sure if she stepped foot on there when, in a formal way.
So Linda tells him, she's talking about here, that these things normally happen to these animals during a period of silence or quiet, and you don't get to see it, and it always just happens to be you stumble across the carcass of the animal, and it's already happened. But she mentions to them, this happened in daylight, you saw the animal beforehand, what you may have given the surveillance, and again it's coming back to the title of the episode, the surveillance on the ranch, you may have the data to see what has happened to this animal. Is there anything we can corroborate this with? Joe Rogan would be lapping it up right now, because there might be some kind of evidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And she makes the point of saying the first consistent data as well, which is awesome. It's everything this show is about, isn't it?
You file the cattle mutilations, like we said, in with crop circles. And I don't think there's any legitimate videos online of crop circles being made that don't look heavily CGI'd. I'm sure you do, and I'm fascinated with them as well, right? Because there's some of these crop circles that, like the cattle mutilations, these couldn't be done by humans. And I know we've seen these like debunking shows and how it's made, and you'll see the guys walking around and it's still really clever, and they've got big wooden paddle boards on their feet, and they walk around in a certain way, and it's all, the geometry's fantastic. But I'm talking about the crop circles where, if you look at the canes, the way they're bent at a certain angle, and that only certain parts of the stock, and I want to say it's almost like the joint or the knuckle, there's like a pressure point that has popped out all the individual.
That's right.
Yeah, that you couldn't do that. That's impossible. And that's the kind of stuff I look at as a genuine crop circle.
For sure. And something interesting about them as well, I don't know if you read or listen to Simeon Hain's work, Dr. Simeon Hain, or Hein, if I'm saying that wrong, I apologize. He has found, through working with groups who can make, you know, very decent crop circles, that even in the ones that they faked, they find strange magnetic anomalies. So it's almost like, you know, whether it can naturally occur, like it might have done in some cases, but it's almost like the wheat itself is some kind of, you know, generator or whips a electromagnetic. Just edit that bit.
I get what you mean, though, that they're almost like you're creating some kind of symbol or key that you're on your way to making something that's going to be.
Yeah, you see what I'm getting at.
It's yeah, I like... know what you mean. let's put a really crass analogy on it, okay? It's a bit like you're kind of making a Stargate, and then it's not going to be quite perfect to open up, but it's starting to turn a little bit, and something like that.
You know, and maybe the stronger readings will come with precision. That's the march of civilization, right? Is the from having a big fire to being able to have a tiny fire in a tiny engine turning a turbine powering something, you know?
But crop circles for me. Has there ever been any crop circles on Skinwalker Ranch? It's never talked about in
not
this series.
I know of. No, it's not mentioned in the series.
Here are those poor alpacas. Look at them. Was it Jed and Leon or something?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
That poor one looking with its eyes. So this irked me a little bit because they're going back to, look at this attack when quite clearly...
So harsh.
Yeah, there was nothing to it other than a predator has attacked these. It wasn't anything... You know, there was no dire wolf, there was no 12-foot creature, it was quite clearly some kind of coyote or wild dog, or the alpacas were bigger than whatever attacked them. And I'm still very slightly suspicious on the fact that the camera that would have been looking at the pen wasn't working at the time. I won't go into the whole Princess Diana thing again, right, but... But yeah, it just happened to be that one camera caught a fragment of the cage to see some part of the attack. I mean, these things are still very much out in the open, aren't they, as well?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
But they talk about the biosensors, don't they? And Tom here is trying to, you know, we're just trying to use them as, could these things see or hear something that we don't? And you're still kind of using the animals, aren't you? But again, it's a living biosensor. It's a working ranch. Things do happen on the ranch sometimes as well.
Usually when someone puts an animal in danger, my response would be, well, you put yourself in that same danger as well then, and you see how you like it. And they're all on the ranch, so I can't really say anything, can I? They're all in the same danger. So
that's it. And they've got the bunks. Travis is in a trailer, and I missed this off earlier, didn't I? But trying to say Travis Taylor's trailer 10 times really fast is a tongue twister. But like, these guys are pretty much for the most part living in trailers or bunks on the ranch. So I wouldn't fancy doing that. Like I said, I'd be staying off ranch if I ever get a chance to go over. But yeah, it takes us back here to the night where we saw the beams across the mesa. That seems so long ago now, doesn't it? But
That was a really impressive moment, actually, looking at that video footage.
Yeah, that I think next week when we talk about the highlights of the series, that's definitely going to be up in my top three. Because I just wish they'd done more on that. And I don't know, I mean, the way it's presented, it happened that on that isolated incident that night they were out there. But again, did they try and repeat that? Did it happen again? And we just don't get shown it on camera because it's happened, but... I suppose for a TV watching audience, that you don't want to go back and see the same thing again. But for me, that would be pretty cool. You know, fly a drone over there, find out what's kind of going on. I don't know.
Maybe anything, you know, this comes down to it just being this is the kind of stuff we got in season one. And then in season two, we'll go back to all those things and dive deeper into them, you know.
So we're coming back from our final ad break now, and we're getting everyone inside that wonderful command center. This might be the last time we see the command center, because I can't remember if we see it in episode 8.
I don't think we do. We do get some very cool graphics in episode 8, though.
Yeah. The guys are basically around the table with Linda Moulton Howe, and Eric has done a little bit of digging already. Not physically digging, you know, that was the last episode. But he's done a little bit of looking into the data and the camera and what we've got. And Bryant's given one of his looks with his resting bitch face that he commented on himself. So we're going to see the cattle, and we do have some footage of it's definitely still alive at this point. It's under the tree. It's been left on its own. But we see in the top right hand corner a bug on the screen. No, it's not a bug on the screen. It's quite clearly a UFO. which is a bit of a contradiction in terms that quite clearly it's a UFO, isn't it? Because the whole point being you can't clearly see what it is. There's definitely something up in the sky, isn't there, Dan?
There is, yeah. Again, there's been conversation about this after this episode aired with Brandon. You know, he's very active on Twitter. If you listen to this, you probably read Twitter. Follow Brandon because he does have great conversations and he elaborates a lot. And he said there were other reasons that they thought this was more than just a fly close to the lens. So there's data that we haven't seen with all these events, this one included, that just back up what they're presenting or the tone in which they're presenting it to us with.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's either that the data isn't for us to see and we're not allowed, or potentially is it just stuff that isn't going to make it into a TV show of this nature because it's seen as potentially a bit boring or dull, and maybe that's more of a bonus opportunity thing. Like I was saying to you before, Dan, it'd be nice to maybe see something on the website or the an app for the show or on the Twitter feed, and just to see some of the background to some of the experiments for people like us that, and again, if you're listening to this, you've got more than a passing interest in the show, especially if you want to listen to us to talk about it, which so many of you seem to want to, then you've got a bit of a thirst to find out a little bit more. And for me, I'd quite like to see that, to be honest.
Well, Brandon has mentioned that they're launching a portal online. I'm not sure when that's due to come out, but hopefully not too long, because it sounds like it would scratch that itch.
I will hopefully get to speak to Brandon sooner rather than later. I'm confident I've got a good chance of getting him on the show. So hopefully before the second series comes on our screens later in the year, I'll have spoken to or be speaking to Brandon Fugel, which would be very cool.
That'll be my question for him during your show.
I might get you on for that one and get you to ask it yourself.
Oh, really? I'll be very high-pitched because I'll be having a very fanboy moment.
Yeah, you'll be fanboying out. So listen, next time we've got all the cast back together. It's a recap episode. We've got the gimbal video up on the screen there as well. Everyone's in suits, all looking very smart. It's a bit of a presentation back. Some cool footage there that Dan will appreciate as well on screen. Did you want to talk about that, Dan?
It's just it's a really, really nice visualization of all the data they've collected. Towards the beginning of the season, Travis mentioned about the new interbasin forming a dome and perhaps concentrating some kind of beam or energy. And they took the readings and we never really saw what came of them. So it's just to see that cross-section of the Uinta Basin with all those beams coming out and it crossing just like he hypothesized over the ranch is just wonderful.
Yeah. So listen, folks, that's the episode finished. Episode 7 is in the books. We have one episode to go, and myself and Dan are just kind of working out how best we want to present that to you. In the style of a watch-along, there's not a lot to watch along with, so it's more than likely going to be us having a bit of a recap of the season, discussing some of our kind of main talking points, main highlights. And what we'd love for you guys to do as well is get in touch on Twitter at UFOUAPAM or at The Zignal. If you're not on Twitter, which I kind of realise a lot of people listening to the show maybe aren't on Twitter or don't necessarily like to kind of communicate that way, you can email at UFOUAPAM@gmail.com. So send us an email. It'd be great to hear from you if you're not someone who's regularly on Twitter. You can drop me a message on the Facebook page, That UFO Podcast, or if you're an Instagrammer and one of the cool kids, I'm still kind of getting my head around Instagram, you can get That UFO Podcast on there as well. So it'd be great to hear from you anyway, to share your thoughts on the watch along or just your thoughts on the show Skinwalker Ranch in general and what you're looking forward to in that second season. Of course, don't forget I'll be speaking to, or I've already spoken to, but you'll be hearing the interview with Dragon, Brian Arnold, coming up later on this week. More than likely that'll be getting released around Wednesday again, which I'm finding is the best day for the main interviews to be released. But again, we've got one episode left of Skinwalker Watch Along. You will be hearing within the next 24 to 48 hours the first episode of TUP Talks, totally shamelessly ripping off the name of TTSA Talks podcast. Myself and Dan sitting down discussing the first two episodes of Unidentified that have been on the screens, that we are big, big fans of that show, as we've kind of talked about anyway on the main feed and on this show. And that'll be discussing your points as well, because I've had so many people feeding in what their thoughts are on the first few episodes, and those will be kind of shorter discussion shows on that as well. Dan, final thoughts on the episode then before we say goodbye?
That was a really good episode, and technically, I guess, or in one way, it was a finale. So yeah, it was a really good finish. We finished with an event that had a cattle mutilation, a UFO, electromagnetic anomalies. What more could we ask for?
Exactly. A partridge in a pear tree, or a Brandon Fugo in the back copter. But listen, folks, again, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Awesome. And we look forward to speaking to you again next week. Thanks.